Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Welcome to another week of One Bills Live once again, and we were just talking just before we came on the air. There's about 5 months broadcasting from our homes, and well, I'm okay with it now. I mean, what am I going to do? You know, we were laughing too. There's like the NFL in all of the rhetoric that is surrounded it that's returning to work. The NFL has come up with these tiers. Like tier one is the players, coaches, equipment staff, medical staff. Tier two are the people who support those people who cannot who can't directly come into contact with any of those people, only when the building's empty. Tier three is people like media people who can go in and watch from a distance, that kind of thing. Tier four is somebody else. We figure we're about tier 10 on the scale of 1 to 4. We're a 10 on somewhere on that. We'll get back into the studio at some point, back on MSG at some point. But it may be 2021 before we do, right? It's been five months.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I can wait that long.
I'm all right. I mean, listen, I'm just thankful to have something to do. I'm glad I got a job. I really am.
Oh,
I mean, in all
I'm
seriousness,
there.
Because there's so many people that we've been furloughed, laid off, and it just, as five, we were thinking, man, it'll be a couple of months, you know. It's 5 months, and it ain't stopping. We're not going anywhere. It's five months, and here we sit, me and my office, you in your office, your basement, Jay Bird in his little, you know, family room, living room. JJ Chirito, we're getting help from him. Kelly Rood is somewhere off in the nether reaches. I haven't seen her in 5 months, but you know, she's helping with the show every day. You know? It's weirdo, man.
It is different. There's no question about it. And it's interesting because I've seen the being off for a couple of weeks, you kind of see different stuff that you don't normally have time to see or view or watch. And I find it interesting that on social media and other places, the shifting of the messaging to try to get people to comply with mask wearing, among other things.
Right.
Now you hear more of this. If you want football in the fall, please wear a mask. Like that's the level you have to stoop to get people to comply with mask wearing in public. Please, if you like football and you want to see it in the fall, wear a mask. Like, that's where we have to go to get people to wear a mask, not protect your family, not protect others, not protect at-risk portions of the population. Football!
I said it last week when Maddie was on. You know, we're Americans are horrible at this. We, you know, because there's so always a segment of the population. Sometimes it's a huge segment of the population in some groups you're in. Sometimes it's just a couple of people or whatever. But there are always those people like, you cannot tell me what to do because I'm an American.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you can, for whatever it's worth, I am not going to wear a mask just because the government told me to. I am not going to do this just because the principal told me to. You know, you can see it when they were kids, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a segment of the United States that's always going to be that way because of the way we're raised, our belief system, our culture, our always got to be rightness about us that we all have. You know, it's you know, there's always going to be people out there that just will not do what they're told to do or even asked to do because of it's good for everybody. You know, they're going to be doing it because they've got a reason they want to do something else. So there's always so we stink at this. And, you know, the numbers will tell you that, the stats will tell you that, and certainly 5 months into this lockdown, we can tell you that too. I mean, we're not getting closer to going back to work yet, it doesn't seem like.
No, I mean, even though the situation's pretty good overall in New York State, although I did see that in Erie County we went up a little bit with cases, just beautiful, over the weekend.
It's a beautiful weekend.
Well, and yeah, the weather that we said, and you also have people, Steve, you know, doing grad parties and stuff. So tough,
all of that stuff. And let's face it too, the 4th of July was over the last weekend.
Yeah,
right. And then we had record warm temperatures. We had 8 days in a row in Buffalo over like 90 plus, set a record in the city. And so that people got, you ain't going to stay indoors in that, right? So, you know, it was just that kind of thing going on. And that's exactly the kind of thing that's squashing these other states.
Yeah. Well, some of those other states are doing some other stuff too. Like,
right. It all goes into the pot though. I mean, there's some lunatics out there, but
And I know right before we came on, you spotted this online, but another domino has fallen in college sports with the Patriot League saying, no fall sports. They said they might consider, you know, doing spring football and putting the fall sports semester into the spring semester. Some schools might be challenged to find enough field space to accommodate their spring sports along with their fall sports simultaneously. But I guess you got to explore all avenues to at least give the opportunity to your fall athletes to compete come the springtime. But so Ivy League late last week, and now the Patriot League has followed suit saying no fall sports for them.
Yeah, and I was reading this an article. It's on ESPN, and it's entitled Plans to Start the 2020 Season, NFL Season. What we know and what we don't know, ton of stuff in here about, you know, kind of lays it out, you know, like all the training camps are going to be at team facilities. They've asked to be retrofit their facilities, and we're kind of firsthand on this. They're clearing out the entire Buffalo Bills facility, and the players and coach are going to use every single room. I mean, they've got wings in there for, you know, like for community relations, media relations, public relations, you know, like, you know, community relations, what they call it, business development, scouting, all of that stuff. They're clearing out our whole building so that they can spread out the 52 or 80 players, whatever their roster is. They're going to spread them all out with the coach and stuff so they can meet in the same room and still have 6 feet of space between everybody. They're retrofitting that. The league's asked teams to do that. The showers, they got to be 6 feet between guys when they're showers. They probably have to, you know, take out every other shower stall or whatever. Because if you knew it, the team showers are just that. They're huge rooms with like 25 shower heads, and the guys just go in, right? Yeah. Well, that's all got to be modified. Teams have to maintain a 2-week supply of personal protective equipment all the time. This is not going to be a bubble. They're not going to be a bubble arrangement like the NBA or the NHL. It's not feasible for a team as teams, rosters, and coaching staffs and support staffs as large as NFL. They can't do that. So it's not going to be any of that.
Well, plus you have teams in 22 different states. So, you know, you're not doing the NBA thing with everybody in Orlando. So, I don't know how you do a bubble in a scenario like that. Maybe you do 20. Right. You might want to say, well, can you do 22 individual bubbles? But it doesn't seem as though that's in the works either.
Well, at certain points, I mean, the Bills got to play Miami. You know, they got to go to another state and play them. Listen to this, though. They also have to designate an area, wherever this area is, to isolate any team employee who demonstrates symptoms. And then they have a plan for testing them and removing them safely from the building. And you think about, what the heck? I mean, if somebody comes down, they got to find a way to get them out of the building as quick as they can.
Yeah.
And they can't, you know, they can't come back to the facility for 10 days. They can't return until 72 hours after the last symptoms were.
Yeah, so you know that means that every team has to have a designated exit route,
right?
That eliminates the symptomatic employee from coming into contact with any of the other employees in the building. They basically need an escape route.
Right. That's right.
For the symptomatic employee.
Now, here's another one. Here's, in the event of a positive test, the National Football League has contracted with a company called, I guess it's a company, IQVIA, a third-party firm that also analyzes league injury data. They were the guy.
This is fascinating to me.
Right. For a contract for contact tracing to determine whom the player employee has been in personal close contact with during the incubation period, which is the series, is the time in between which you get it and the time you show symptoms. That's the incubation period. So if there's a fear of in-game exposure, the NFL will make use of radio frequency identification tracking devices embedded in each player's shoulder pads to determine who that player was within 6 feet of during the game. Anybody who engages in team activities will be required to wear a Kinexon proximity recording tracking device, which would allow contact tracers to find those contacts of someone who tested positive. You talk about Big Brother is watching.
Well,
bro sleeve. We're all going to have one. We're all going to have one of these.
Does that mean I get shoulder pads too?
We're gonna, sooner or later, they're going to inject one of these right into your butt and my butt, and they're going to know everything about us all the time. That's Big Brother. That, let me just put my tinfoil hat on. This is all a precursor.
I just pictured you in a tinfoil hat. That's why I was laughing.
I have three of them. So,
oh, do you?
But think about it. They're going to have, they've got the technology now to do this, and they're going to go back. They just go back and say, okay, they put a query into the computer, say, hey, who's he been around? Who's been within 6 feet of him for more than, you know, whatever the thing is, yeah. 10 minutes. And that'll, you know, boop, beady, bop, beady, boop. They'll have a way to do it. Now, the thing about this is they only wear their shoulder pads in practice and in games. So they'll be able to go back and say, okay, in the game on the other team, these are the guys he was around. Now, do the coaches carry it around in their wallet?
Yeah, I don't know. You also got to think about player warmups. A lot of guys aren't wearing pads during pregame warmups.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Are you going to keep the players from different teams completely separated until it's actually game time and you're lining up on the field? Because, you know, guys go over and say hi and buddy-buddy with former teammates of theirs that might be on the opponent for that week.
So they say all these protocols are going to be enforced by unannounced inspections, and club officials who knowingly violate the policy will be subject to discipline. Unannounced inspections. By who?
Who knows? Could be anybody, Steve.
Well, I know, but...
This is a combination.
What if the inspector comes in and he's Typhoid Mary?
Oh, boy. You're really going down the rabbit hole.
I know. We're a long way down. Okay, here we go.
This is like a combination of the game Clue and what was that other spy game that they used to have, that board game? I can't think of it. But it's like Colonel Mustard in the conservatory.
Oh, Clue.
Yeah, Clue. Yeah, I said that. But I was trying to think of the other spy game they had. But anyway.
I can't remember.
That's what you're dealing
with. Somebody will tweet it at us. But you're right. You're right. Who were you with?
In what room?
Yeah, how about this? You're walking down the hallway. All of a sudden, the hand of authority taps you on the shoulder and says, son, you're in quarantine. What? Why? He goes, you talked to this person for 10 minutes on game day. He was from the – why? Like,
we have to take you to the designated exit route right now.
I was talking to my brother.
Put you on the exit route.
Right?
Ride you on a rail.
All right, here we go. And then early training camp pranks are going to look a lot different. The entire offseason program was conducted virtually, and – they've agreed that the NFLPA and the league have agreed that there should be longer acclimation process. It's going to begin with two days designated for medical exams and equipment fitting, and more than a week could pass before players participate in full team drills. No fans or visitors allowed in team facilities during training camp. Teams can host up to two practices at stadiums with fans in the stands, provided state and local regulations allow. That's not going to fly in Western New York. All right, and then the NFLPA are in disagreement about this, preseason games. The NFL has made plans for each team to play two of them. They want to get their game day protocols practiced and up to speed.
Right.
And
evaluate.
And
players.
Evaluate. One at home, one away. You know, they want to do one at home, and then they want to do one away for, you know, so the teams can do one of each. The players, the NFLPA board of reps said voted endorse a plan for no games because – and – because the NFL doesn't believe it needs the NFLPA's approval to play the games and believes them important for two reasons. So that's really true, because the NFL was going to have four preseason games, and now they're back to two, and now the NFLPA is trying to get them to not get two. I don't think the players have any leverage in that. The team can do that.
No, from what I've read in the CBA, it allows the NFL to stage preseason games, and I think in all likelihood they're going to stick with the two games no matter what the Players Association says. Because all the Players Association can do is make recommendations to the league. Like, we would recommend that we play no preseason games. And the NFL owners are going to be like, well, that's all well and good, but we're going to play two. So that's the deal.
That's right. And then if there are preseason games, visiting teams are going to travel a day before the game. Stadium locker rooms are going to be retrofitted to ensure socially distancing as much as possible. Have you ever been into one of those locker rooms?
They're tight.
Well, it's impossible.
They're tight.
It's impossible. Masks for coaches and non-participating players are encouraged, but not going to be required. Teams must maintain 6 feet from each other after games, eliminating the post-game handshakes and jersey swaps. All right, here we go. Most media interviews are going to be conducted video conferencing. Locker rooms will be closed. Tier 2M. Tier 2M meaning media. They're going to have access to parts of the team facility into the practice field, provided they pass screening protocols. All right, that's some of the stuff we know down the protocols. Now there's a ton of stuff we have no clue about. The biggest question for business side of it is neither the NFL or the PA or the NFLPA, they don't have any idea what it's going to look like with lost revenues this season.
Well, they know they're going to lose money. They just don't know how much and what to do to mitigate it.
Right.
Because you're going to need player association assistance in trying to mitigate the losses, but it's been pretty clear from the outset here that the players are not taking any kinds of pay cuts.
Right.
Or deferments, it even sounds like.
Right. And I think the sides are well aware of and a hope to avoid the spectacle that Major League Baseball made of its economic negotiations.
Yeah, it didn't have to be that ugly.
But right.
The baseball players and the league, it was not good.
What are you going to do? You know, so, and as of now, there's no financial accommodations for players or other team employees who want to opt out of the season, either because of pre-existing conditions or reticence with the safety protocols. Would they lose their jobs, be placed on unpaid leave? Could they be paid a reduced salary? Otherwise, many people in the NFL would be left to choose between their health and being paid, which, well, welcome to the real world. There's a gazillion people in the U.S. who aren't working because of this thing. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
And you're opting out of it? Well, it's hard to feel sorry for those guys. Right? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, there are some special circumstances, I'm sure. Maybe you got a wife that's pregnant. Maybe you have, I don't know, maybe your mother lives in your home and she's in the over 60 high risk category. You know, these are the problems you run into if you're not doing a bubble.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, that's true. But that's, you're talking about 20 guys out of the 2000.
You think?
I don't know. I mean, even if it's 200, you know, it's still three or four guys per team.
Yeah,
that are in that. So that's, you know, okay, you know, let's move on. I think, you know, let them, they can opt out for those reasons. I don't have a problem with that. If you're a caretaker of your elderly parents, they live with you and your wife or your kids or whatever. If your wife's got an issue or one of your kids has asthma or something like that, I get it. If you're not willing to send the kids to grandma's for 4 months, then opt out. You know, I know it's hard, no question about it, but you're still talking about, for some of these guys, seven-figure salary. Hard to walk away from that over a four-month vacation.
Especially knowing the length of careers in the NFL is as short as they are.
Right. He'll see
number
some details.
Number three, Steve, this is what you and I had talked about on the show a couple of weeks ago about expanding the rosters and the practice squads.
That's right. Details aren't clear on how the NFL will account for what could be significant roster churn based on infections and isolation time. Expanded active rosters and bigger practice squad squads are both in play, the league might also need to devise a new reserve classification so that players who are infected or in isolation, one, don't count against the roster limits, and two, are not subject to the three-player limit for activations from injured reserve. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, designated to return.
Right, it's virus.
I think they upped it to three players now under the new CBA, so that's where that's coming from.
But if it's a COVID, if it's a COVID list, it's got to be limitless, right? If you got 10 guys, they all go on the COVID list. They come back when they're healthy and when they're isolated, right? That makes sense to me.
Absolutely. And I can't see the Players Association standing in the way of that because that means more guys have jobs.
Right. And here's the thing, too, that's come up, and not just with pro football and pro sports. This is a problem around the country. Some details of the testing program haven't been finalized. And most notably, the weekly frequency. That number could be influenced by delays other sports have faced in receiving results. Long waits for results reduce the effectiveness of testing and minimizing infection and increase the possibility of spread. Nobody can get their test results.
Yeah, if you can't get it back in, 6 to 12 hours, or
what use is it?
Or at worst, 24 hours, that guy's talking to just about every Tom, Dick, and Harry in your building on the football side of the house. So a day goes by, he could have talked to 12 guys. Now he's infected 12 people because you didn't get the results back.
That's right. And I'll give you an example. We had a family gathering over the weekend where my son and his wife came back from White Plains. They drove across to come for the 4th of July weekend, a long weekend. And you think, and we've got this isolation pod, right? So all of our family, we have 17 people who have isolated away from everybody, and we can get together and do things, but we don't go out. None of them do. None of the 17 people do. Well, so my son and his wife are not in our pod, so they said, okay, before we come over, because we're going to work, we're going to get tested. So they got tested on Sunday and then isolated through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the next weekend, thinking they were going to get their test results on Wednesday or Thursday. They were going to drive in on Thursday night. Thursday night, they drive in, no test results. So they're quarantined in our basement Thursday. They're quarantined Friday. They're socially distancing and quarantined Saturday. The whole weekend, they're here, but they're not here.
Not a test result.
Monday morning, the day they got to leave, you're negative. They get their test results.
Oh, my God.
So.
Well, that was fun.
Stinks.
What a great trip.
Right. It stinks. It absolutely stinks. But that's a problem. They got all the – and everybody under the sun wants to get tested. But there's only like three people looking at the results. They can't get the results out.
Yeah, and I was also reading the article by the guest we're going to have on the show today, Nora Princiati, who will be joining us at 1 o'clock from The Ringer. She had a nice write-up also on how the NFL needs to finalize its COVID-19 plans, and soon. She mentioned in here, because in talking to some medical professionals, there is a point where the infection rate, if it's up around 10%, it wipes out the effectiveness of contact tracing because there are so many people infected that it reduces the whole point of doing contact tracing in the first place. So that was something that I was previously unaware of, that there is a breaking point where contact tracing becomes completely ineffective because so many people have been exposed or infected. So that was something that I learned reading that story today.
Right. It becomes exponentially impossible. And
there's too many branches of the tree, so to speak.
Yeah, so we've got all this stuff going. There's a lot more on this list, and we'll get back to it as well. I did want to – let's get to our Twitter poll, which is actually a pretty good one, and it centers around all that we've been talking about for the last 15 or 20 minutes, and here's the question. What's your biggest concern about COVID-19's impact on football? And it's A, is it players opting out? B, losing important players for a game due to the positive test? C, not starting a season on time due to NFL and NFLPA haggling, or something else. You can tweet at us or give us your other opinions if you want. You can call us at 803-0550. And right now, leading away is losing an important player for a game due to positive tests. So people really think, there's going to be games. They just don't want to lose their good players right before that game is. That's the one thing they really worry about. 28% of the people think not starting the season on time due to the union and the league haggling is a big concern as well. D is third because everybody's got some other idea that they want. And only really 13% or 12% say they're worried about players opting out. I'm kind of with that. If they want out, let them out. Let's play football.
I think careers are so short. I don't see many guys going that route.
I don't think they.
I'm sure there are guys that aren't exactly thrilled to be trying to play football under these circumstances, but I don't know if it's going to be enough to have these guys forego giant paychecks.
I totally get it. You know, I totally get that too. I mean, I've said, for me, we would have adjusted our lifestyle with me away from the family if we would have had that big a concern. But there would never have been a question of whether I was going to play or not for me and my wife and four children at the time. It would have been because we were able to have a support network like family. We'd have family members. We have the ability to just send my wife and to live with other family, like her parents or my parents or, you know, whatever. You could send the wife and kids to another location, and we would have done that in order for me to play. A lot of guys aren't willing to be apart from their families for that long. And it's not like I would have liked it. And it would have been really hard to not take a day off or whatever and go see him or have him be there so you could say hi to him. But then again, nowadays we FaceTime constantly. So, it's different now. Even then we didn't have FaceTime when I was playing.
No.
So I get it. It's a real concern. But for me and my family, I don't think that would have kept me from being a part of what was going on in the league.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard.
And we should also mention that the NFL and the Players Association are scheduled to meet today to negotiate, you know, the terms that are still unresolved here in terms of how they return to training camp and how they return to play. You know, with all these hurdles still to clear, they are supposed to talk again today. So, you know, maybe some reports will trickle out before the show is over today on maybe what got ironed out or what still remains hanging in the balance here.
Right. They're talking about what other things have not been finalized is that acclimation period. How slow the players want to ramp up before they start working out on the field. What the opt-out clause is for players. What the players are going to do if they opt out, what happens to them? What are the ramifications for the league, their team, and themselves? Yeah. Also, trimming the 90-man training camp rosters. They want to cut those down.
Yeah, see, Steve, I'm kind of conflicted on that. I understand the premise, like if we have fewer people, there's a lower rate of infection because you got fewer people in the pool. So I get that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it seems like the league's talking out of both sides of their mouth because – I know Pro Football Talk had a write-up saying the league is bracing for a rash of positive tests when camp opens. Because as the players come through the door, everybody's getting tested. And if you're positive, you're not coming through the door. You're getting turned away and you're getting put in isolation for 10 days or whatever it is. And they're saying, well, we're expecting that. We absolutely expect to get positive tests, knowing guys are coming in from all over the country. Well, if you're expecting positive tests anyway, before you even get started, what's the difference if you have 90 guys or 60 guys? You're turning away whoever can't participate. What happens if you have only 53 guys coming through the door and 12 tests positive and they can't do anything for 10 days? Well, now you're down to 39 players. And, you know, practice changes dramatically based on the number of bodies that you have.
Right. And it's almost the point where you would rather, and I know that there's still some questions about whether you can get this thing again after you've had it once, but you'd almost hope your guys show up, you test them before they ever come in the building. Like, they're never even touching any of the other guys.
Right.
I mean, that's what'll happen. They'll drive, like day one, they drive by in their car and they get tested and they drive out. And come, and then we'll get that started, and then we'll start meeting virtually and all of that stuff. But man, oh man, you're right. I think you're going to need a lot of bodies at some point.
Yeah, because you're going to lose people not only at the outset, but throughout the whole process based on how this thing behaves.
Right.
You're not going to be able to eliminate. You can't get the risk down to zero. You just can't, despite all of your best efforts. So, I don't know. I know you and I have talked about this on the show before, too. The logic to me says bring 90 in because there's a strong likelihood there are going to be times where you only have 75 guys ready to practice because 15 are in isolation.
All right, so what's your biggest concern about COVID-19's impact on football? Players opting out, losing important players for a game, or not starting the season on time, or whatever haggling might go on, or something else. Give us a call at 803-0550. Coming up at 1 o'clock, football writer for The Ringer, Nora Princiati, is going to come on. We've got her questions for her about the protocols as the season bears down upon us. Steve Tasker and Chris Brown here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. We'll be right back on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to One of Those Live. Steve Tasker and Chris Brown here on a Monday. Each of us from our homes haven't been able to get back to the stadium. I haven't been back there in 5 months. I think this might be the longest stretch in 33 years that I haven't been to the stadium.
Yeah, I had to go the Monday before July 4th because I had to move my office for football, football side of the house, to spread out. So I had to get out of my cubicle area and move upstairs.
Right.
So that's why I had to go in to just basically move my stuff. And it's different, Steve. You got the one-way arrows on the floor and all that stuff. So,
yeah. So
it's going to be different.
What's your biggest concern about COVID-19's impact on football? Charlie's in a car on line one. Charlie, are you still there? Sorry it took so long. Thanks for waiting. This is Chris and Steve. What's on your mind?
Yeah, guys. What's on my mind is, what about when the Miami Dolphins come to town, or Arizona Cardinals, or I don't know if Houston's coming. But if I go visit my relatives in Miami and I come back to New York, I got to quarantine 14 days. How are they going to let these players fly in on Saturday and then go play football? They have to quarantine just like I would, wouldn't they?
Well, they don't. The governor said they wouldn't have to, since they are working in an environment that is taking every precaution. So the governor is letting them off the hook for that, but they're not letting them have fans in their stands. But you're right. I mean, that it's going to be an issue. And if those guys are in the same kind of environment in Miami or Texas or Arizona today or California that the Buffalo Bills are in here in Buffalo, they're exposed to way more, it looks like, way more in their respective cities than you would be here in Buffalo as a player with the same protocols. So you're right.
Yeah, and the Bills go to Arizona this year. And we don't need to tell anybody that Arizona is a hotspot state for sure.
Right. So then the Bills, when they come back from there, aren't they going to have to quarantine, or are they going to be allowed to go on
strike? No, just like Steve
said,
the governor Cuomo has already said they're exempt because they're taking any and all necessary precautions under their own protocols. So they do not have to quarantine. At least that's where it stands right now.
You're right, Charlie. The NFL guys have got it all over the regular citizens of the United States. They don't have to quarantine from those states.
That is not right. I mean,
right.
I'll take my precautions. I come back too, but what are they going to do? I mean, it's.
Yeah, exactly.
People are like,
exactly.
They're not going to quarantine either.
Yeah, that's right. And it is hard to, I don't know how they, and I don't have any idea because I haven't left my yard. So if you do go someplace and come back, is it voluntary quarantine? Is it, I mean, who checks?
Right. Nobody does check because I know
right.
people that have come back from places.
Not that that's a good thing and not for nothing, not that nobody's doing. I'm sure a lot of people really are taking it seriously. I mean, particularly given how many lives it's starting to have touched now, the virus. I mean, everybody's like, you know what? this is pretty serious. So they're probably quarantining pretty seriously. But, yeah, how do you – you know. But, like I said, Charlie, the governor, they probably got some pressure from the league, no question. I mean, there's somebody's out there lobbying – saying, listen, we can't do it if we don't do – if we.
Well, yeah, you can't do a 10-day quarantine if you're playing games every 7 days.
Which, yeah, and not for this. Charlie, did you hear this? This just came in before we came on the air. The Toronto Blue Jays are looking for a ballpark in the United States to play their home games since they're not going to have fans in the stands. Right. And they're talking to Buffalo.
Well, yeah, and Buffalo's their AAA affiliate. So.
Right. They may have, we may have Major League Baseball in Buffalo for the 2020 season because they need a ballpark inside the United States line. Because if they go to and from Canada for road trips, they have to quarantine for 2 weeks. And that's just impractical. So they may be here in Buffalo. They're talking to other ballparks as too, I would imagine. This isn't their only option, but this is on their short list, I would think.
Yeah, I actually know somebody at the Bison Stadium. He said if Toronto doesn't come here, their minor league players are going to practice here. Well,
so, well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, it makes yeah. I mean, if they're going to do something and have that league move along, even if it is at a snail's pace, Buffalo's a for particularly for Toronto for all the geographic reasons. But it's a great little facility here in town, and there's no reason not to use it in some capacity, right? So.
Thanks for the call, Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie, appreciate you. Thanks for hanging on in there with us. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here till 3 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, we've got Nora Princiati coming on from The Ringer. She's got a great article out about the protocols and all the work that needs to be done before the league could really even flip the switch and try and get this thing on. So Nora Princiati coming up at the top of the hour. What's your biggest concern about COVID-19's impact on football? We've got some feedback, Brownie. On the tweet sheet, brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems. Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment movers of the Buffalo Bills. From what is it, Brad? You want to start this off? We got a
From Reddit Bills.
No shortage of feedback on this one.
Yeah, first one's from Reddit Bills. He says, "My biggest concern is if the safety measures aren't strong enough, it may result in an outbreak among the players, staff, and the season could then get canceled." Yeah, I understand the concern there, but I think the one thing that the league and the players have agreed on is the 42-page protocol booklet, basically, at this point. So I think both parties have certainly agreed that any and all precautions are going to be taken as feasibly as possible, knowing that football as a sport is essentially the opposite of social distancing. So the actual play on the field is pretty much unavoidable. But beyond that, they are doing everything and anything to do the proper social distancing and to wear masks and stay 6 feet apart and all of that stuff. So I don't know if you need to be concerned about the safety measures not being strong enough. It's the play on the field that's the biggest risk of all the things that they've got delineated in their 42-page handbook of safety protocols, right?
That's right. That's because everybody on the field is going to be exposed if there's a guy out there who's positive. There's just no way around it. Everybody's exposed. So, you know, you can't get around it. And this kind of goes down that lines from Dinah on the tweet sheet. "I'm not sure when or even if the season will start. New York is doing so much better, but the rest of the country is not. I'm not sure they should start the season. The NFL, NFLPA haggling is my biggest concern. I'm not sure any of them really have the best concern for player health." This is where I always kind of go, yeah, I get it. As far as the virus is concerned, they probably are putting football ahead of their concern over the virus, which in the environment that is the National Football League is, to me, 100% understandable. Yeah, I mean, you got guys playing football, pro football in the NFL.
Yeah,
it's hard to have concern over a virus. When you're putting guys out there in the kind of risk and the kind of physical exertion you're talking about on an NFL game. So it does, you're right. It's hard for me or hard for the league to, you know, look at itself in the mirror and say, are we really going to take all these precautions over this virus when our guys play such a dangerous game?
Yeah, and I just find it interesting that Dinah is most concerned about the haggling. between the league and the Players Association. And when you think about it, Steve, and I know we'll get into this with Nora Princiati at the top of the hour from The Ringer, since she wrote a 9-page write-up on this, there's a lot of stuff they still got to finalize. And what are we, 2.5 weeks away from the scheduled open of training camp? That's a lot to get done in a short amount of time with a situation that doesn't present a lot of concrete, reliable answers.
Right. And there's so many. Everybody's got their own issues that they got to deal with in this in the pandemic. But I think it comes down to how badly the players want to get paid this year and how badly the league needs to
make some kind of revenue.
Keep it chugging along, yeah. The fans in the stands, we've gone over this over it and over it. The fans in the stands are about 15% of the total pie. 75% of the total pie is money they make from putting on television programming, which means 3 hours on Sunday afternoon, 3 hours on Sunday late afternoon, 3 hours on Sunday night, 3 hours on Monday night, 3 hours on Thursday night. That's a lot of television programming, and it is the most compelling TV on. They want to get that on the air. Even if it doesn't look quite the same, that's what they want. And that's the end goal of the entire of this entire operation and the entire exercise, is getting games on television, 16 games a weekend for 17 weeks, you know. So
yeah, that new media deal hasn't been struck yet either.
That's right.
Which they thought was going to be, you know, a windfall of new money, which it was absolutely going to be. But if you're one of those broadcast networks, you're probably like, well, let's wait and see what happens before we agree to a new deal here.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the stance that a lot of those networks are taking right now.
Right. Now, here's
one. Now, rushing to the table.
That's right. Here's one from Tiffany. I skipped one, but here I'm going to get this one. I'm concerned that if enough impact stars of the league opt out, the NFL will have no choice but to possibly postpone or, worst case scenario, cancel the entire season. The restrictions alone in New York will make it beyond challenging for coaches and players to participate in a game. If they can get these games on, and I usually agree with Tiffany in her takes. She's pretty well-informed and pretty thoughtful. I disagree with this one completely. If the NFL can make this work, they don't care if Tiffany is suiting up for the Buffalo Bills. They're going to get guys on the field. They don't care if Aaron Rodgers, if Josh Allen, if Tre'Davious White, they don't care if any of these guys show up.
Should amend that, Steve. They do care if the stars of the league are on the field, but
it's just not not consequential.
If they're not scrapping games.
It's not consequential. They're going on with it. They hope everybody plays and they hope everybody stays healthy and they do all that stuff, but they ain't stopping this train. If those guys don't want to play, that's fine. If all of these guys, Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt, Philip Rivers, any of these guys, and think about this, say Mike Tomlin opts out, the league ain't going to care. They're gonna use it as an excuse to elevate some people. They're going to give opportunities.
The show must go on.
Let's go. Now, they know, too, that it'll compromise. In some ways, it'll compromise what you see when between the whistles, but it'll also make what happens between games – The weekly attention, the weekly news cycle is going to be driven by the league, by who opted out, why they opted out, how these teams are coping with these opt-outs, how they're doing this, who's going to play for the Steelers, who's going to coach the Steelers, which assistant coach of the Steelers that I've never heard of is going to elevate and say, wow, he's pretty good. All that, they don't care. So
who's in isolation? Who's out of isolation?
That's right. This is going to drive content like an atomic engine. It is just going to be inexhaustible. And sprinkle in the fact that there's legal sports betting in states, and this information actually might make you money. Are you kidding me? It's a fire hose of content. And the media's, people like us and people like ESPN, the sports directors at all the local affiliates, all these websites that you've heard about, from The Ringer to ESPN, CBS Sports, Spotify, SpotTrack, Our Lives, everything. They're all going to be churning out. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be a fountain. And we'll all eat it up. I mean, we'll eat it up. But don't think for a minute that if they can do it, if they can pull this off, Brownie, and put games on for 16 weeks.
By hook or by crook.
By hook or by crook, they're going to do it. They will not care what it looks like in the end. Certainly, they're going to make sure that they aren't liable for anything, right? They're going to, everybody's going to sign waivers. Everybody's going to say, hey, you know the risks you're taking, known or unknown risks.
Oh,
we don't know. So they're not going to, it's not going to come back to bite them later. But they are gonna put these games on if they can in any way, shape, or form. I don't know what they're gonna look like. I don't know if they're gonna have, like, you know, professional, you know, wrestlers out there for a chance. I don't know. They're gonna get bodies to come in there and play football, and that's gonna be the end of it. So don't think because Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger opt out that this league's gonna come to a grinding halt.
Yeah, I think we gotta take a break here, Steve.
All right. Yes, we're way past. Thanks. Thanks for catching me there. Nora Princiati of The Ringer coming up at the top of the hour. This is One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Chris Brown. Brandon, we've been talking about the league getting going. We'll talk about the protocols and all of that at the top of the hour with Nora Princiati. Well, for right now, did you hear, and I think you have, about, for those of you out there listening, have been keeping track of, that the Washington Redskins are going to, thinking about changing their name. Well, looks like it's actually going to happen. They retired the Redskin name, franchise name with the logo, and they're going to choose a new nickname for the Washington Redskins. And, you know, high time they did that. They also are going to scrap all their Native American imagery, lose the logo, everything. They'll keep their colors, and that's about it. But it's going to, the Washington Redskins are now going to be called something else. There's a couple of leaders in the clubhouse. One is the Washington Warriors, which to me, they want to stay away from anything that would connotate Native American.
Yeah, that's still kind of close there.
Right, but they say that's the leader in the clubhouse. The other name, other than the Warriors, would be the Red Tails. Now, the Red Tails is an interesting, so it would be the Washington Red Tails. This nickname has a history that it's what they called the airplanes flown by the Tuskegee Airmen.
Had Red Tails on them.
Right. It was the first black military aviators that served in the United States Army during World War II. And three of the first five Tuskegee Airmen ever admitted were from Washington. So that connects it to the city and the armed forces. I love that name, the Red Tails. And that would be the airplanes flown by the Tuskegee Airmen as an alternative to the Redskins. And also, if they don't go with the nickname Warriors. So interesting stuff.
There's actually a film called Red Tails from like 2012 or something, and it had Terrence Howard and Cubert Gooding Jr. in it. It's a good movie,
right?
And it's on the Tuskegee Airmen in World War II. It's pretty cool.
Right. I think that'd be awesome. So the Washington Redskins, after 100 years, are going to change their name. Now think about this too: four teams in the NFL over the first 100 years had changed their names. Let me see if I was in this article, and I'm trying to...
What do you have? The Decatur Staleys became the Chicago Bears, right?
Right.
Is that right? I think that's right.
Well, the New York Titans.
Became the Jets.
Became the Jets. Let's see. The Cardinals were always the Cardinals. It's the team. Now, the cities have changed for a lot of these
Chicago,
teams.
St. Louis, Arizona.
Right. So there you go. So they were getting huge pressure, the Redskins were, to change the name, and they're finally going to do it. And
right.
Good for
them. You've got baseball teams now talking about this too, because the Cleveland Indians didn't say they are outright changing their team name, but they said they're going to consider things. They have gotten rid of their former Indian Chief logo, which was Chief Wahoo. They got rid of that.
Right.
And now they just have a C for Cleveland as their logo. So they changed that. The Atlanta Braves came out and said they are not changing their team name, but they will examine getting rid of that tomahawk chant that their fans do.
Right.
Which I think is necessary at the very least.
Right, and it may be as simple as just not playing that music.
Well, that would help, right?
Right.
That would help.
Not playing the music that goes with the chop. Yeah, that's, you know, they'll get it. I mean, it'll evolve
away from
it. The
Braves did change their logo, too, because they used to have an Indian warrior as a logo also.
Right.
With the feather on his hat, on his head and everything, and they have since changed it to just a script A for Atlanta.
Right.
But they said they're not changing the team name. So,
but they are changing the team name because the FedEx. They play at FedEx Field in the stadium, yeah. Right? And then Gosh, they've also, and for about a decade and a half, Daniel Snyder and the owner of the Skins, they've wanted a new stadium, and they've wanted back down closer to downtown in the old right where the RFK used to be. Right? They wanted a new stadium, and what happened was the powers that be in Washington, which, you know. You can imagine.
It was basically FedEx and Nike that
pushed.
Right.
So FedEx said, if you don't change the name of your franchise, we're taking our name off the field.
And Nike, which makes the league's uniforms, took all the Washington football team merchandise off their online site.
Right.
And refused to market it to
right.
anybody.
So, and then they also got some pushback from the civic authorities in Washington, D.C., and said, listen, we're not even going to talk to you about a new stadium until you change the name of that franchise. So all three of those heavy hitters kind of pushed them into a corner, and they said, you know what, we're going to do it. And so finally, and with Ron Rivera as their head coach, one of the few minority head coaches in the National Football League, lo and behold, it's going to happen. I don't know how they're going to do it, when they're going to announce it, but they're off and running. Good for them.
Well, it's about time, yeah. I don't think there's any question about it.
I agree. Yeah. And so be it. And I want to see the, you know, in normal times, they'd have a big press conference and an unveiling and all that.
Yeah.
You know, now we don't. I want to see the new logo.
Well, yeah, they've probably got to put that together and agree on a team name and then what the whole emblem and marks are going to look like. So that's presumably going to take a little time.
Exactly. All right. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here till 3 o'clock. Coming up right after this break, Nora Princiata, football writer for The Ringer. She's a contributor to The Ringer NFL Show podcast, and she's a former Boston Globe reporter covering the Patriots. Nora Princiata, coming up right after the break. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.